Tonight's shir, Simen Lamed Beis, Sif Nun, Nun Aleph, and Nun Beis. Sif Nun. Ein liknos gide me'ena Yehudi. We do not purchase the sinew we use to soak tefillin from a non-Jew. Mishum d'chashin on shema shal behemet tamehahem. We're afraid they are sourced from a non-kosher animal. Mekom she'en gide metsuyim, in a place where you can't find gidin, teifin b'talidurus, they would sew it with this thing that's essentially parchment that's cut thin. Until they would get Gidin. We don't purchase Gidin from a non-Jew. We're afraid they'll not come from a kosher animal. This is specifically when he goes to the home of the non-Jew to purchase the Gid. And he knows that some of the non-Jews will take the gidin from non-kosher animals. Therefore, even though most get their gidin from kosher animals, and if that's the case, why can't I rely on the majority? Since he's going to the non-Jew when it's kavua in their home, Ein holchen ach harov, we cannot go by the majority. Shekol kavua kemechs al mechs adarmi, the halacha is that something kavua, something set in its place, is treated like a 50-50 possibility. We don't look at the majority anymore. Aval, however, im ha'ovid kachov mehevi lashuk, if the non-Jew brings the gidin to market, mutu leknosim enu, in the market you can buy from him, shekivin shepirish mikvi yusoy, Aminon called the parish of a parish. Once it's left its set location, which means his house, so now we say whatever has left its place is subject to the rules of Rov, and we assume it came from the majority. Unless he's selling it in the market from a store. Because once it's a store, you're back to Kavius. V'chein, similarly, ein yadua shemiksas nodin asad. If you have no clue, you have no knowledge of goyim taking from non-kosher animals, then you can buy from a goy, whether it's from his house or from his store, because most gidim out and about are from kosher animals. So the basic issue is that we just learned to the previous halacha, halacha mosh misinai, that tefillin are sown with gidim of behemah chayat tahorim. So the mechaber says you can't buy from a non-Jew if there's a possibility that he's selling from non-kosher animal gidin. But that's only if it's from his house or from his store, because you go by kevius, and we say that kavur kamech samech sadami. But if he's selling on the street, he just is a strolling merchant from a push cart maybe, whatever, he doesn't have a malkum. So then we can go by the majority and say that it came from a kosher source. And if we have no knowledge of animals that aren't kosher being used for the gidin, then we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to assume such a problem, because typically the gidin do come from kosher animals. Only when we know for a fact that they're taken from not kosher, then even though it's a minority, we have to deal with it when it's kavua. Mishnah Berurah continues. Akolze begidin she'enen tevuyin. This issue we're discussing is gidin that were not spun. But once you spin the gid, Maganavam's opinion is you may not buy such a gid from the guy. Even if you know for a fact that its origin is a kosher animal. Since the requirement of the gid is halacha mosh misinai, when it's prepared, it has to be prepared l'shma. Utfias hagid and zuhi asiyason. Spinning the gid is making the gid. V'nachem lav b'nei l'shma ninhu. And a guy cannot do that l'shma. L'kvar kasav n'del yarab himigodim efak v'kin yiboy klab z'tvi l'shma. Now we did write earlier that el yarab himigodim questioned whether or not you need to be l'shma at all. This goes back to Sifkon v'eshchaf beis. But loit tzad that you need to be l'shma, the only heter is to buy the gid from the guy and then you're going to spin it yourself. But to buy it already spun, that's for sure no good. If you can't get gidin, the Mechaber suggests using batal yudrush, These are essentially thin strips that come from parchment. And in a case of need, so mechaber holds it's the same species as the animals where the gidin come from, so it's the same as the gidin themselves, and you can use these strips of parchment to sew, say for teret fill in the mezuzahs. So l'chayra, you could say that he doesn't really mean stam, he means sefer Torah and tefillin, and the expression includes mezuzahs. However, it's interesting to note that the sugya in Megillah Ches Amud Beis, the bottom of the Amud says, the toif and the gidin zev is eshoven. As far as sewing with gidin, they're the same. Rashi says, halacha mishmei Sinai, betfillin u'mezuzos, that they should be sewn with gidin, and sefer Torah is machlokes maseches makis, if you need gidin or not. So, b'kivei eger and the gidin hashah, seichan su, chavis yor, tzarechin, who's sewing mezuzos? What's Rashi talking about mezuzos? Tefillin needs to be sewn. What are you talking about mezuzos? The Rashash on that Gemara says, no kasha, not sure in Rashi. Tosfos in Menachos Lamed Beis says, Shitas Rashi is that if you take two pieces of parchment and you sew it together and write the mezuzah, it's kasha. Rashi Shita is, you could take two pieces of parchment to make enough to make the mezuzah and you sew it together, that's fine. So that's going to be the tefillah.
Ready to cross the gidin, or
I don't know where
between
you saw
the words,
it.
In the middle of the word.
I'm assuming you're writing it, I don't know, between the parashas probably. The truth of the matter is, you could do it the way you sew Sefer Torah. You fold the parchment, and then you sew across it, but you don't see it, because it's folded in the back. So when you look at it, you just see a seam. You don't see this, the stitching. The stitching is behind it. You can do it like that too. Sefkan Reishchav Zayin. Actually is Damnu. These strips of parchment will work until you get Gidin. In order not to miss out on Mrs. Filin. When he does get the Gidin, he should untie these and then sew it up with Gidin. There are Achronim who are concerned not to use such Tefillin, even B'Shas Techak, that are sewn up with these strips of parchment. This material is leather, strips of parchment. Whoever heard of stitching with leather? According to this, if there are no other gidin, so we are going to use it, like the mechaber. But you can't make a bracha because they're chayshish not yetsa. Sometimes you take from the intestines very fine, dried, like chutin, like the strings of the gidin. Ain litfar behem should not be used to sew with. The halacha mashmi sinai hu dafka gidin. We only want the gidin. That's the halacha mashmi sinai. Od kasvu, they write further. Ain litfar be gidei oif tahor, not to use the gidin of a kosher bird. Kimi achuya ezer kavi gidin ve ezer chutin ve ezer veridin. Who can determine which is in fact the gid, which is perhaps a other part of another part of the animal or the veins, and it won't be a true gid. We need specifically gidin, even though you could theoretically make some kind of string from the guts and other parts of it. No, we don't do that. It has to be gidin. So if non aleph, yitvar shloisha tefirois bekol tzad. Of the tefillin bias, we want to sew three stitches or three sewings on each side, and the thread has to go, the gid that you're sewing with has to go around both sides. And you should also pass one of the gidin of the sewing between the batim. When you sew, you can imagine you have a thread and a needle and a piece of material. So when you penetrate the material with the needle, you're going to go under the panel to the back side of it. You bring the needle back up through, and you don't see the stitching from the top. It's only in the back. Then you put the thread over a little further and put it through, and you keep going this way. So essentially the thread is rotating, the bottom, the top, bottom, top, bottom, top. You never see a straight line of stitching on top and bottom. What the Mechaber is saying is, we want you to make sure you see the stitching entirely on the top and the bottom. So you're going to go back. You're going to stitch through, leaving blank spots, and then come back around and fill in all the blanks. So when you look at the tefillin, you see stitches straight on top and on bottom. That's what the Lashon is, soifev mishtei ruchos. The chut should be soifev mishtei ruchos. You want to make sure that you see all the stitching above and below,
so
not
saying,
alternating like
so
you normally.
You're saying you go double.
Correct. You're going to go through twice. The Ramah says, "Miu im lo osarak eser tefiros or pachzel ein nifsal." Lamaisa, if you didn't do three on the side, which comes out to be 12 altogether, if you only did 10 or less, it wouldn't be possible. The yesh mishaomish yibes tefiros elia b'chut echad. Some say that the 12 stitches that we're making should all be done with the same gid, you know, long gid, to get all the way around and back for the 12 stitches. So the first thing we say is that we sew three stitches on each side, which comes out to be 12 stitches total. Tam Yud Beis Tefiros, the reason for 12 stitches, neged Yud Beis Shifta Yisrael. This corresponds to the 12 Shvatim. It's not necessary to sew through the leather of the bias, but near the bias. The notes on the side point out that we don't want to penetrate through the actual bias. We are only going through the titura, we're going through the area at the base of the bias. The Mishnah Berurah continues, "Ve'ein toifrin ketoifer begodim, b'sas ha-beged b'li shi'ur." We're not sewing this the way we sew clothing, where you want to get a hem up against the edge of the material without any material afterwards. We want there should be titura, more of the base of the tefillin, beyond where you are stitching. You don't stitch on the edge. Now the Mishnah is something else. In the event that the leather that makes up the bias is different than the leather that makes up the titur, which is fine. It doesn't have to be one piece of leather. Our film generally is or echad, but even if it's not, or in the case of Mishnah Berurah, when it's not, when the or of the bias is separate from the titur, then the bottom of the bias, the leather at the bottom, at the opening, should spread out on the four sides so that when you stitch through the titur, you are stitching through the bias also. Logically, the sewing of the titur, at least for our tefillin, is just to close the tefillin, because it's one piece of leather and it's open. And you're putting the parts, you got to close it up, so you stitch it closed. But if the bias is a separate piece of leather than the titur, now I have to stitch the bias to the titur as well. So a piece of leather from the bias comes out on each of the four sides, under where the titur is going to be, where the stitches go through, so it sews them together, as Mishnah Berurah says, "Kadesh sheyitfor arhabatim mikol tzad im hatitur." So you're stitching the arhabatim on all four sides the same as the titur. V'lo ka'asoyfim hamakatsrim or shel habatim sheinu over holo tasnik v'atfira. Not like the soyfim who take the leather of the bottom, again, it's two separate pieces. They take the leather bottom and they guess they make it narrow or short, that it doesn't extend under the holes of the stitching of the titura. It's in fact not sewn at all together, titura. There's an opening of the titura, and they squeeze it in, and just like, you know, the pressure maybe, it just holds it in place, doesn't mention glue, just you push and stuff in the bias into the opening of the titura, and you don't sew it in. In theory, if you give a yank, it'll pull it right out. So it's not like the sofim do that. That's wrong. There should be leather left over, and that gets stitched together with the titur. V'habaruch sh'omar kosev, Sefer Baruch Shomar writes, she'posel kama tefillin machzeh, he posseled many tefillin because of this. Tzerech litfor yachat ha'or shalabat metitur, you have to sew together the leather that makes up the bias with the leather of the titur. Again, when it's two pieces. So in those days, I guess the first thing you did to check a plate phone was yank and see if the top comes off from the titur or not. If it just comes off, then it's there was a problem with that phone. Sifkon reishchav tes, mishtei ruchos. Then in addition, when you sew it, it has to be sewn both sides. There should be no empty spots on the titur, on top and bottom. But so let me to say, shekol tefira yihim usoveves mishnei tzadim panav ochor. The stitching should surround the bias, both sides, inside and out. nimsa toifer b'shtei machatim. So you basically you're sewing with two needles. Achas yotzi la'achor, v'achas nechas atzad panim. One going back, one going forward. Essentially, it's out of the set. You go through and then reverse yourself back. You could do it with two separate sets also, but it doesn't have to be. Especially if you're using one thread. He says he's using two chutim, maybe it's two machotim, I'm sorry. But it's going to be one chut. Using two machotim, using two needles. If it's one chut aruch, I'm only need two needles. The concept is you're just sewing in the opposite direction. You're sewing through one way and then reverse yourself to make sure you've sewn everything. Siv kon reish lamed. Miyu im v'chulhu. However, if he only did 10 tefiros or less, it's not possible. And if you didn't put the chut hatfira between the batim in a market, it's also be different. We said we do it. And Lamaisa, the seifim that are careful, will do it. They'll put a single gid between the batim of the shalosh at the bottom of it. But it's not ma'akiv if they didn't do it. Sifkan reish lamar alf bechut echad. Ideally, it's going to be one gid. Vim nifsak. What if it rips? Some say you can tie a knot. Some say pull the whole thing out. Do the whole thing from new with a different chut. Once it rips, breaks when you're sewing with it, it shows that that gid was weak. It's going to break down the road, so it's irrelevant. If the chut wasn't weak, it was just short. It didn't break. This is not long enough. Everyone agrees you can tie to it another piece of gid to conclude the tefira. If you don't have other gidin, you can rely on the first svara and tie together the torn gid. This is if it rips during the sewing process. Nifsik achat tefira, if it breaks after the tefira, after it was sewn already, it tears. Ayin kamon simin lamed gimel, sif beis, that's going to be explained in simin lamed gimel, seif beis. Seif nun beis. Yachnis haratsua toicha marbarta. You then pass the strap through the marbarta, the channel in the back, v'yasa kasher kemendal b'shalosh. For the shalosh, you knot the ratsua into the shape of a dalet. You're going to make a knot resembling a yud on the shalyad. Lahashlam oisus shakai, and that completes the letters of the name of Hashem Shakai. In Hashem shebishal rosh, with the shin of the shalosh. Venuhag in the Ramos says the minig is lahaver or al habayah shalyad, the roich of hazroya. There's a minig to take another piece of leather on the tefillin shalyad across the width of the arm. As wide as the bias, and you would do that to somehow hold it in place. We don't do this minute. The knots of the ritsuas come after the shin of the tefillin. After you do the shin, you do the dal next, and finally the yud. It should be in the sequence of the letters shin, dalad, yud. We make a knot in the Ritsua, Rikesha Shatfilm Halacham Shmi Sinai, the knots of the tefillin are also Halacham Shmi Sinai. Veneer Shatzerach Lasos Lashma, it would seem it should be done Lashma, for the Yaseir Kotun should not be done by a child. Sifkan Reish Lama Gimel, Kemin Dalet. So the knot on the Shalroi should look like a Dalet. The Yesh Shaoisen Kesher Kemem Stuma. Some people make this knot, it kind of looks like a Mem Sophis. Shinir Kishne Dalasin Mishne Tzadadav. Because it has the appearance of two dalets on both sides. Ra'u shalzeh b'tzad ro'u shalzeh, the leg of one by the top of the other. V'ayim b'sefer tiferes aryeh sheheh b'shem tshuv me'ahavo, the sefer tiferes aryeh quotes the tshuv me'ahavo, v'hiskim mo ledin and agrees with him l'halocha, the elu ha'oisim kesher dal mechuvin yoyse ledina, that those who make the kesher on the shalrosh like a regular plain old dalet is better l'halocha. And you also should not make a loose knot or a slip knot. There was a fellow who, after he took off his tefillin, saw the knot of the kesher shel yad was undone. V'haresi lachzor l'hanichan v'likros kriyashma b'li bracha. I told, instructed him to put them back on after he fixed the knot and say kriyashma without a bracha. The mitzvah tefillin kol yom, the mitzvah tefillin is all day. Ad kan l'shon, this is his language. V'taymo, why did he make him do it again? Tashitas Rashi, the sphere de yud halacha mishmisin, l'yotzi dain, deha mitzvah. According to Shitas Rashi, the kesher of the yud is halacha mishmisin. He didn't do the mitzvah. So he has to go back and do it again. So he mentions that there are some people who make the tefillin shel roish not like a mem stuma, $2. He concludes that those who say it's better to make it a single dalt. So in the notes on the side, he points out that the Tiferes Aryeh doesn't say this. He's quoting the same Tiferes Aryeh. Tiferes Aryeh says it's better to make a square knot. And the Dalid is in the Ritzuos, because the Ritzuos make up the Ritzuos Dalid. And that's the concept of the Dalid Adi Ritzuos. Not that the Kesher looks like a Dalid. The word isn't that you should make a knot that looks like a Dalid. The Ritzuos should have the shape of the Dalid. And the Sefer Mishnah Sefer has the same Ha'ara. And the Mishnah Berurah has to mean, they're suggesting, that Mem Stuma is a real Mem Stuma. You made the Kesher with a hole in the middle. That's no good. To make the Kesher Sharosh like a square with a hole in the middle, like a Mem Stuma, no, you can't do that. But if there's no hole in the middle, Faker, they have this actually better that way. That's a Mila over the other method of making just a dial in the Kesher itself. So the bottom line is, you do what your minig is, but there's no shayla halacha if you have the double dalad or the single dalad in your tefillin shavuos. Sifkan reish lamed dalad. Lahavir, then this minig, to put another strap of leather over the shalyad. Hatam, the reason behind this minig was, you wear the tefillin shalyad under your sleeve, under your clothing. Umisnad nadim, and they move about, and if sodim, and they get ruined, and it's kalkalin, and they don't have, they ruined. They won't.
It puts like the cardboard caps we have now. They just put leather.
That's what he meant. Lakachnogu lahavi ritzua zualin lahasach. They actually put a strap, a leather strap, like another ritzua over it to hold it in place. Vaachshabelatzuslonog b'zed. The minig is not to have that. It sounds like it was mamish. I look back in the Torah. The minig is the Torah. It says it sounds like they put another ritzua of leather around the whole thing to tie it in place.
Keep it from moving.
And we don't do that. And also, I wonder if it had to do with bias that's not made from the same leather as the titur. So maybe there's a more possibility of the bias getting corrupted. Mashenkin, if you have one orecha, it's less of like that. Sifkan reish lamed hei. El le'acha v'chulu. You should make sure the shin is there first, then the dalad, then the yud. What's the loimer kenochen l'chachila? He's trying to say this is the proper l'chachila. But if it happened that knot on the shel rosh became undone and had to be retied, we don't say undo your yud and then fix the dalad and go back to the yud. We just fix the dalad. We leave the shel yad alone. We don't say you have to untie the yud to make it in order shin dalad yud. The chatchila shin dalad yud. But if you after you have the yud, you have to redo the shel rosh dalad. We don't say you have to redo the yud as well.